Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
KFI AM 640. Bill Handel here on a Thursday morning, May 26. Obviously, a huge amount is going on. I think it's tomorrow night. The NRA convention starts in Houston. Ted Cruz, Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, former President Trump, going to be speaking there. That should be a lot of fun. All right, let's move over to California and something that every one of us has, a California driver's license. Well, right now, we all should have the real ID. And what is a real ID? Well, it has watermarks and it's more secure. And by next year, you're going to need one to get on an airplane, for example, or enter a federal building. And they've extended that because no one has one. Matter of fact, half the people don't have a real ID still. That's going to be interesting. Well, let's move one step further. The DMV is now planning to test what is called a digital driver's license. And what is that? Well, it's a license, a credential, if you were, stored on a smartphone. And it makes sense if you think about it, because it gives you a whole lot more control over your personal information and is a lot more secure. And it's really hard to counterfeit and to manufacture or to use if the person holding it ain't you. However, it's early days. I mean, early days. Louisiana, Colorado, Arizona already have these mobile licenses, these digital licenses. Utah is testing them, but the technology isn't up to where it should be. The goal is to improve security and privacy and convenience. So the easiest way to figure out how this works, to understand it, is look at the problems with your driver's license, the one you have now. After the 9/11 attacks, the federal government enacted the Real ID Act, this was 2005, to stop states' driver's licenses from being counterfeited or obtained by people who were not legal residents, should not have them. Watermarks, design features, hard to copy, but also hard for an untrained eye to recognize. And here is an example, the easiest one. Let's say you're going to a bar, right? A nightclub. And there is the bouncer at the door. And let's say you're young and you show the driver's license. First of all, it's dark. The guy isn't trained to look at the ID. And you have to prove that you're old enough to enter. So you whip out your driver's license, but it's only to determine how old you are. That's the whole point. Yet what does your driver's license have? Your home address, all the information about you, a lot more than just here's how old I am. And when you look at it, even a counterfeit proof driver's license, if you look somewhat like the person and it's kind of dark, you get in. And I don't want to mention any names about people who have done that. Barbara, my daughter, who got a driver's license, looked a lot like a friend of hers. And guess what?
My cousin Sarah, I just posted a picture of her on Instagram, JJLKFI on Instagram. She used to use my ID all the time. I would walk in to the bar, hand my ID to a friend. Sarah's 3 or 4 years younger than me. My friend would walk out, hand Sarah my ID. The same ID, the same bouncer would look at that ID and let Sarah in.
Yeah, sometimes sometimes they don't really care. But let me tell you what these cards are. Most ID cards have a single factor, right? You look at the person and there it is. Now you have this digital ID on your phone, and it has biometric capabilities, right? Either face recognition or your fingerprint kind of hard to counterfeit for sure. It also has two-party authentication, which means it asks you questions. You ever done that? I love those security questions that I'm asked, you know, to determine that I'm me. For example, if I want to do a new password, what was the name of your first best friend? No friends. What was the name of your first dog? No dogs. What's your favorite band? I hate music. I mean, I have a hard time filling those out.
We can tell.
I must tell you. In any case, you have this mobile device, and you actually can determine what information is given. And all of a sudden, the control is yours. And the information belongs to you. Now, security people are a little bit upset about that. Wow, you can hack that? Of course, you can hack anything. Therefore, the privacy concerns, and now people have all the information about you, as if a hacker can't get all the information about you anyway. But the point of this is you control. There is no counterfeiting. You're not going to be able to use someone else's ID, Barbara, to get into a bar, right? You're going to have to, she's 26, so it really doesn't matter at this point. But, just not going to happen. It's just a lot more secure. You're going to see those. You watch. Digital IDs on your smartphone.
All right. I'm sorry to be a downer here.
You're
but
a downer.
We just got news. Ray Liotta, the actor, has died.
Oh,
at
God,
the age
I liked
of 67.
Him.
Everybody 67? Loved Ray Liotta.
67?
67.
That's pretty young.
According to TMZ, let's see. He was in the Dominican Republic. He was shooting a movie called Dangerous Waters on the island and died in his sleep. They say there is nothing suspicious about the death. No foul play is suspected. He had a fiance, JC Natolo, who was with him while he was filming. A shock.
That is a shock. I mean, out of the blue. We'll find out. Probably a heart attack. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe just natural causes.
Goodfellas would not have been Goodfellas without Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta, he's just a terrific guy. Very, well, actor-wise, I don't know him or know of him particularly, but I was a big fan, or am a big fan. All right, moving on, and thank you for ruining my segment and my morning. I appreciate that, Jennifer.
Anytime.
Okay, a story about electric cars, and all we've heard is good stuff about electric cars. Well, I think it's good stuff. I'll tell you who is not thrilled. Who would you guess? How about the 32,000 mechanics that work on internal combustion engines that are going to lose their jobs by 2040 under the phase-out of the new gas-powered cars? You can't buy gas-powered cars in this state after 2040. And why are mechanics going to not have job? Well, look at the internal combustion cars. Hundreds of moving parts, other components that keep these mechanics going. California switches to electric vehicles, those mechanics, those skills are going to be needed far less and less and less. And electric cars just don't need that maintenance. They don't need that repair. That's one of the beauties of electric cars. They need brakes a lot less because the brakes regenerate. So they don't use as much braking power as you jamming the brakes on and those brake drums screeching to a halt. It's better technology, although there's some downsides. I didn't know this. You know how much it costs to replace a Tesla window on a car? Right? Just your normal Tesla window. Well, let me give it the other side. You get into a car crash, your window goes. Let's say there's a hole in it and you have to replace it, $200, $300. A Tesla is $1,800 to $2,000 for the window. Why? Because it's just full of sensors. That's why there's technology in and out of that car. So what's going to happen to those workers? Well, they're going to have to transition. Now, the good news is you got lots of time. Because it's only the new cars that can't be sold after 2040 or 2035. So used cars can be sold, And there are plenty of cars that are going to be on the market. I mean, keep in mind, cars today last an average of, what, 7, 8, 10 years? I mean, they're incredibly reliable relative to cars 30 years ago. And so there are going to be plenty of cars out there, but they're going to diminish year after year after year. So mechanics are going to be out of a job. But this is one of the things where, and it's a small number of mechanics, but I think it's important to look at the loss of those jobs and use that as a primer as we transition into a new phase of society, and that is looking at electric power, getting away from things that use fossil fuels, which is virtually everything. And all of a sudden, you have workers that are trained in one field that have to do something else. It's much like the disappearance of my manufacturing job. Look how many people are in an assembly line today manufacturing a car. A fraction of the number that were there 40 years ago because of robotics, because of technology. And so the skill set today, you have people that still put on lugs and nuts and put the wheels on, et cetera. But the car industry has also created these opportunities for technology jobs. Software, creation of, manufacturing and hardware, manufacturing of computers and sensors and chips, et cetera, that didn't exist 40 years ago. So it's a transition, and that's what's going to happen. And the transition, we've gone into technology already. Now the transition is into electric vehicles. And here is a big problem with these mechanics who make about $26 an hour now. This is one of those fields that is not easy to transition because it's going to go from effectively manual labor, but we're pretty high end. I mean, there are some mechanics out there that are extraordinarily well trained. You go to a BMW dealer or you go into a Mercedes dealer or actually any dealer. And today with the technology, they're pretty highly trained. I mean, they're, you know, it's not your car mechanic with just that wrench. Oh, let's fix your car. Here's what I see. Although that's not the way they talked anyway. There you are. Maybe the only mechanic I had talked that way. Hey, let's fix your car. Right, was worked for the mafia 20 years ago and decided to go into mechanics. Forget about it. In any case, you sort of look pejoratively down on car mechanics, although the skill level today is pretty high. Well, now we're talking about they have to be transitioned into technology. And that's not an easy jump, especially if you have been in a mechanic shop for 30 years. So what do you do? Well, is this where the government jumps in and says, we'll retrain? We haven't heard about retraining programs in zillions of years. You know, that used to be a big thing. And frankly, I think the conversation about retraining has to come back up again because there are swaths of our community, the workers, that are terrific workers that are trained in one field. And then going to school and transitioning into another field entirely, and they work at the same time and have families. Let me tell you, there's a big difference when you're in your 20s and you decide to switch fields versus when you're in your 40s and you have a family and all of a sudden you become redundant and your job or the industry doesn't even exist anymore. Should there be governmental programs that train people? Maybe you borrow money for it. This is one of those things that I like government getting involved because in the end, you have a super productive worker who pays taxes to a super productive worker who in another field pays taxes, maybe gets more money. And then like anything else, you borrow money to go to school. Now, borrow money from the government, borrow money from the banks, make it easy. I think it works. But I will tell you, if you have a kid, incidentally, vocational training is really a good thing. Oh, I want my kid to be a lawyer. I want my kid to be a doctor. I want my kid to be a manager in a business. I want my kid to be a professional. You know what? Give it up. They'll make a lot more money in HVAC, and they'll make a lot more money as a highly trained technician. I think that's the wave of the future. And it's time for our Thursday segment with Mo Kelly. Mo heard Saturdays and Sundays right here on KFI, 6 to 8 p.m. And his social is at Mr. Mo Kelly with a Y instead of an E-Y at the end, although it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, it does matter in social media.
Okay, yeah, so it's not EY, it's Y.
Correct.
Kelly, you got it. Mo, we were going to have all kinds of things to talk about. Usually we have a list and we go through it. That's all been turned on its ear. Ray Liotta, just literally a few minutes ago, it was reported that he died. So let's talk about him for a moment.
I think about how good a villain he was when he played these parts. I think about Goodfellas. I think of Field of Dreams, those piercing eyes. He's someone who just commanded your attention when he was on screen. And he was just one of those quality actors. And the information is still slowly coming in. For people who don't know, he passed away allegedly or reportedly in his sleep while he was filming a movie down in the Dominican Republic. So he was still active in his career.
Yeah, he's 67. Yeah. I mean, it's not the, you know, that's not incredibly old, especially for a character actor. And he was one of those character actors, even if you don't know his name, although his name was pretty well known. He's not one of those, if I see the face, I recognize it. You knew who he was. He was one of those character actors that was constantly working his entire life, wasn't he?
Yeah, his entire life, but he had this commanding presence where he may not have been the star in the movie, but when you added him to the cast, it mattered. It meant something. It's like, oh, and Ray Liotta? Oh, yeah, absolutely. He just had that face where it just pulled you in. It pulled you in. He had a commanding screen presence.
Yeah, and if you see Goodfellas, so you see any of those films that he was in, and you're right, generally a villain. Did he ever you'll know instantly who he is? And oh yeah, and you've seen him a zillion times. What other parts did he play that he's known for?
I always think of Goodfellas in Field of Dreams.
So I know
he did a few movies with the Muppets. We were just talking about this off air down the hall. He did like Muppets in Space and another movie, and it makes you wonder how different segments of the population may think of Ray Liotta, because they may only know him from the gangster movies, or they may only know him from or Field of Dreams or a particular movie. But the point is he had a very, very diverse career ultimately, where he wasn't always a villain. He wasn't always doing something dark.
All right, let's move over to something that's big news and in your world, the world of movies, and that is Baz Luhrmann's Elvis, starring Austin Butler and Tom Hanks. Austin Butler, Elvis, Tom Hanks as Colonel Parker. And the reports are, and I just heard from Alex, that Priscilla Presley cried at this movie. It works so well.
It's interesting you say that, because my question is, and I'm definitely cannot wait to see this, I wonder what type of biopic it's going to be. Is it going to be a mass celebration of Elvis, the icon, the musician, the force of nature that he was? Or is it going to be more of a character study, the person that we didn't get to see on stage? And these pictures can go one or two directions, so I'm interested to see that. Because you look at a movie like Ray, that showed us the warts of Ray Charles. Get On Up with James Brown. We saw the warts of James Brown. I wonder if they're going to touch upon some really sensitive and controversial aspects of Elvis in this.
Okay, here's a fun topic, sort of a question, sort of a trick question. Why did Elvis never appear anywhere but in the United States? Never did an overseas concert.
Was he someone who was afraid to fly?
No, this is an interesting. Colonel Tom Parker was an illegal alien. He was from the Netherlands. He was not here legally. He could not leave the country. And
interesting.
He came here illegally, stayed his entire career. And Elvis did nothing without Colonel Tom Parker.
Right.
When you talk about someone who's managed someone, the control was extraordinary. Oh, by the way, Parker took 25% of everything Elvis made. It's an extraordinary story. So there you go. If you ever watch Jeopardy, if you ever get asked that on a Jeopardy question, Colonel Tom Parker, illegal alien from the Netherlands.
Well, I also want to see whether they're going to show the 1970s Elvis, or they're just going to stay in the 50s and 60s.
That's
Elvis.
True. Yeah, the 1970s Elvis was kind of weird. You know, the heavyset Elvis, the white suit in Las Vegas. versus...
But that's what most people associate with the idea of Elvis. Now, if you're going to get an Elvis impersonator, it's usually from the 70s.
That is. You're right. Always the white outfit.
With the collars and everything.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, otherwise you're going to wear jeans and you're going to wear a plaid shirt.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot of sense. All right, coming back, I got a... And by the way, I understand... Well, Tom Hanks, you know he's going to do a phenomenal job no matter what he does. The Ellen DeGeneres Show, after 19 years, is taping its last show today, and the taping is at Warner Brothers, which is literally within spitting distance of our station here. As a matter of fact, you go down all of there's the big sign, Ellen DeGeneres, as well as a few other shows. The interesting part about this, and I want you to comment on this, Mo, is the fact that here she is, immensely popular. And you see other people who have left shows sort of on that caliber. Johnny Carson leaving on his terms, leaving at the top of his game. Seinfeld stopping at the top of its game. MASH stopping at the top of its game. You would think that she would have done the same thing. And all of a sudden, there isn't that flavor about it. It sort of feels, a little bit of disappointment.
Yeah, and it's more of an afterthought. People are acknowledging it, but there was the controversy surrounding her alleged mistreatment of people who worked under her, how she treated some guests as opposed to other guests. Now, I would say this. Ellen DeGeneres may or may not be a wonderful or a horrible person. I've never met her. But I do know when you have those personalities, those daytime television personalities, a lot of them are a-holes. A lot of them. And we can run down the list of the people. Here's the thing. What allegedly happened on Ellen's set was not unusual as far as other people that you know about. We know the things which happened with Tavis Smiley because it's public. We can talk about it. But there are people that you know, that I know, Bill, the stuff just hasn't come to the surface. And so, unfortunately, Ellen DeGeneres was outed, if you will, no pun intended, during a time in which people were focusing on the mistreatment and Me Too and things of that nature. But I don't think that she's special in the mistreatment of other people.
Yeah, just wrong place, wrong time. Had it happened 10 years before, it's just that's the cost of doing business. You have the personality, the person that is the show wouldn't exist without, and treating people like crap. Hey, okay, where do I cash the check?
Right. Harvey Weinstein's behavior wasn't new. It was just new that people were willing to do something about it.
Oh, it was a joke. Do you remember? It was an ongoing joke that everybody knew. I remember it was some event where, it was an awards event where someone made fun of it.
Yes.
It was such common
knowledge.
It might
knowledge. Have been Oscars, if I'm not mistaken.
It could have been the Oscars where, that's just common knowledge. And of course, look what happened. Because if you look at the days of people that ran studios, the days of MGM,
the casting couch was real.
It was all real. All these studio heads and executives, man, it was incredible. I tried doing that today. Kind of crazy. Okay, Obi-Wan Kenobi returns. That's up your alley for sure.
It is going to be a huge, huge hit for Disney, the Disney Plus app, for people who are true Star Wars fans. In other words, you're fans of the original trilogy. This is going to take people back to that. Ewan McGregor is a fine actor. He's probably one of the best of the non-original actors that are still a part of the franchise, and it's looking like it's going to do gangbusters. Now, it's not selling tickets, but as far as renewed interest in that franchise, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, when you talk about franchises that are automatic moneymakers, it's just a question of size. Nothing more, nothing less. That's certainly one of them, I would guess.
Yes, but the latest trilogy, it took a lot of luster and shine off the franchise because it wasn't well received. Did it make money? Yes, but it turned a lot of the original fans off. And the Obi-Wan series is taking people back to that time, which is like right after the explosion of the second Death Star, Return of the Jedi, and showing what Obi-Wan is doing.
Yeah, when is it? Does it hit Disney Plus?
Tonight at midnight.
I'll visit. Now, how many people do you think are going to
I'm going to be right there at midnight tonight.
Yeah, I know.
Right
I know
there.
You. That's not a surprise. But when something comes out, I can't even imagine what Disney paid to do that film. It's a tentpole picture, obviously.
Well, this is a series.
Or so the series. I mean, it's a tentpole series, so.
They've already made all their money back. They paid like $4 billion for the rights, the rights to Lucasfilm.
But I'm talking about the production value.
Oh, it's cinematic quality. And this is the first series that we're going to be able to see Sith and Jedi, all the original elements of the original series.
Has it already been done? Have they filmed all the episodes?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's done and in the can.
And how many episodes are we talking about?
I think it's six, if I'm not mistaken. I have to check, but I think it's six.
And when that happens, and there is another season, when do they decide there's going to be another season?
I don't know when they decide. When they let the public know is not until after the season is over. Because if they say, oh, we're only going to do one season, it tempers all type of enthusiasm for the series, and some people don't tune in. So I know they've done it with other, like, Marvel series. They'll let you know at the end of the season, well, there's not going to be a second season. Well, I'm quite sure they made that decision long ago, but they're not going to let people know until after the fact.
I watch a lot of episodic television. I mean, I love it. Streaming services. I watch the Hulu and Netflix, et cetera. And some of the shows clearly have an ending. I mean, done. You can tell. Breaking Bad. There was nothing you could do beyond Breaking Bad when it came to 6 Feet Under, which is probably the best ending I've ever seen on a series in my life. It was over. And then others leave you hanging. And that's because at that point, and I'm asking you, are they guessing? Do the producers of the film sort of hope, or they guess? They haven't been told by the networks?
I can only speculate. Within the Lucasfilm kingdom, if you will, there is a storyline which has already been written. I have to correct myself. This is not after Return of the Jedi. This is when after Revenge of the Sith and the Jedi have been wiped out. Now Obi-Wan is in hiding. So that storyline, to answer your question, has already been written. It's a part of a timeline where we know which happens after it. So there are more stories to tell, but it's just a function of where they want to tell the stories along that timeline.
Okay, and whether they want to go forward, because if it isn't a big hit. And a big hit in the world of streaming is new subscribers, right? Or retaining subscribers.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be more Obi-Wan Kenobi. It could be a spinoff of that series.
All right, Mo, 6 to 8 o'clock, Saturdays and Sundays, a lot going on. And by the way, what's on the menu this weekend?
We'll have more guests and more topics and more fun.
You're asking.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Yeah. You're asking.
We don't know yet.
All right. That's another way of putting it. At Mr. Mo Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, is his social address. Also, quick word, I am going to be taking phone calls as I lock out on the show, and Gary and Shannon show up today. I'll be off the air answering questions, 877-520-1150, answering legal questions, marginal legal advice, 877-520-1150. Mo, as always, thank you. You make Thursdays worthwhile here.
I appreciate you, buddy.
All right. Well, thank you. And I appreciate me, too. So it all works out. He's giving me the smile. Gary and Shannon up next. This is KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.